The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello, and welcome to episode 157 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined, like always, by our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jonet.
Hey, friends.
What's up, friend? How are you?
I'm good. I'm sober. Unlike the person dropping shit in the background, I'm great. Like, it's wonderful.
Well, that's good to hear. Good to hear. Glad you could join us and make it here tonight.
On time, too. Look at me.
So you're sober, too. So no...
so far.
There'll be no appearance of three sheets.
Oh, I mean, it depends on how long we record. I've got my drink with me, but I don't anticipate any shenanigans at the moment. But I'm ready.
Night is still young.
You know?
If you
we got time
to turn
it around.
She's ready, right?
And, of course, you can tell that we are joined once again this week by none other than Mr. Samuel Kalunga. What's up, Sam?
Howdy, howdy.
Good to talk to you 2 weeks in a row, man.
I know. If we get people for another week, that's called a streak.
That's called a streak. That's right. That's right. And tonight, we are joined by our special guest. We're joined by V. What's going on, V?
So another Thursday. Yeah, it's almost Friday.
Yes, for sure. Glad that you could join us tonight on the WrestleCast. Just let everybody know the WrestleCast is brought to you by CSPN. You can find us at www.cspn.us. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. You can also visit our Tumblr page at wrestlecast.tumblr.com. All right, V, since this is your first time on the show, like every first time guest, we have to hear about your origin story, kind of who got you into wrestling and, you know, your favorite guys growing up and some of your current favorites that you like today.
Okay, I got into wrestling. I've really been off and on my whole life. Mom even told me a story about how one of our acquaintance of hers, it was like, I think we used to work in the building. We watched wrestling with me at times. And then I also, but my earliest memory is when I started consistently watching wrestling, it was me and my cousin who, you know, they watched it from like the early 90s. And we would alternate between WCW and WWF, but now it's WWE. But so like I said again, I've been off and on over the years. So really, to be kind of give credit to you guys and other people on Twitter, you know, kind of got me back into it. I haven't been watching any of the current product like WWE or TNA. Well, Global Force now. Well, actually, they split, so I don't know what to call Impact or
call it Impact for now.
Or ROH, or but like I said again, to give you guys credit, y'all kind of, along with some others I follow, even the people I don't follow, help me reinvigorate my interest, because like I said, it's almost like an off, on and off again relationship, like an on and off again girlfriend, you know. So the love is still there, but points who there'll be people or things to reinvigorate my interest, like that. And I even maintain my own website about wrestling, so it kind of forces me to keep up with what's going on. So even if I'm not watching, you know, somewhat I'll keep up with, like, by watching clips on YouTube or, you know, so I know some of the main, you know, big names today, like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, you know, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, like those guys. I'm kind of slacking on the impact side, on the RH side, so I don't want New Japan side, so I'm kind of need to catch up on those guys. But growing up, I don't know if I could even say if I had a top five, but it was a lot of guys. I was mainly a WWE guy, so there's a lot of guys like that I like Undertaker, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, you know, Steve Austin, Owen Hart, you know, it was just a lot of guys. Razor Ramon, of course, was one of my favorite characters ever, you know, Ultimate Warrior, you know, Macho Man, Diesel. So, you know, it's kind of even hard, like I said, hard for me to name one part two, or even five faves per se. But, you know, it was, you know, just to go to show, I've gone back a long way, you know, at least to the 80s and early 90s. So,
all right. So, before we move on, let everybody know about your website and the content that you have up over there.
It's great. As some of you may know, be familiar with my site already. It's called the Wrestling Center. You can find it at wrestlingcenter.net. My website is mostly information. I have stuff like birthdays, people's finishing moves, favorite moves, and, you know, moves defined. Have, you know, stuff like information on the different wrestling Hall of Fame. I mean, people be flabbergasted sheer number of Hall of Fames there are. I mean, because, you know, a lot of us obviously know about the WWE Hall of Fame, and some of us even probably even know about TNA Hall of Fame. It's just so many, even because WCW had a short-lived one. There's just so many. And then, of course, some of us as wrestling fans probably know about the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame, and there's the pro wrestling one that was used to be in Amsterdam and now is in Wichita Falls, Texas. And, you know, just info. I also got bios. I have also a section called where every now and then I'll highlight, kind of just toss names in the hat and try to highlight somebody that maybe today's wrestling fans, even my generation, might have heard of, but you don't hear about as frequently. Like, most recently, I did a profile on. Hello?
You're too long.
Okay, sorry. Most recently, I did a profile on Rated Crippler Stevens, and as a matter of fact, some of y'all might be aware, a few years ago, 2015, WWE was going to induct him, but because he's deceased and the headliner was deceased, and that seemed to be one of WWE's de facto rules for inducting people. They don't want to induct too many deceased people, which is somewhat understandable. WWE was even going to induct him because I think that year they had WrestleMania in the Bay Area, and, you know, Ray Stevens was big in the Bay Area. He was a big draw. He was a big draw. He did pretty well everywhere he went. He went, you know, some of longtime wrestling fans might know he was big in AWA.
Nick Bockwinkel,
there you go, had a classic tag team. They had a few tag team reigns there. Of course, later on, he turned on Nick Bockwinkel and Bobby Heenan, and they feuded for a while. He was also big, like I mentioned earlier, he was big in the Bay Area, Northern California. And there he and Pat Patterson, they had a legendary tag team, the Blonde Bombers, who influenced a lot. One of the most notable examples were the Hollywood Blondes in WCW, Steve Austin and Brian Pillman, and a bunch of other tag teams were influenced by them. They were very big. As a matter of fact, they're one of the inductees in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. They and then he also spent time in WWE too. In the when it was the WWF in the late 70s, he had a couple of title shots against Bruno Sammartino. And from my understanding, those matches drew very well. And then also he was in the WWE in the early 80s, and he did some work with did a program with Jimmy Snuka. Jimmy Snuka, and he was there like right before the national expansion, before Vince and Hulk Hogan took off to WWE National. So he was like right, he was there in the early 80s, like right, I think he left in like 83. He was like there right before the national expansion happened. So, and he did, you know, make long story, he was a big draw. So he was the last profile. I'm trying to think who I want to do the profile on. But like I said, the whole purpose of trying, you know, shine a light on people, some names, and sometimes even the names that, you know, wrestling fans that maybe not casual fans will know, but wrestling fans will know, but even though, you know, maybe our generation may not, might have heard the name, but may not know as much about them or we know, but, you know, it's always good. Like I said, the website is a labor of love. And, you know, I myself learned a lot because, like how I mentioned, the Hall of Fame, like, I was just astounded at the number of Wrestling Hall of Fame that are out there. I mean, some promotions or organizations that you didn't even know. It's like, huh? They got a Hall of Fame? Like, or even if I have heard of them, I'm like, wow, like, almost like, because, you know, some, you know, the Hall of Fame, they're all about history, and some organization, I'm like TNA, I'm like, y'all haven't been, y'all only been in game 15, and even WWE didn't start theirs until 93. And WWE was founded in the 50s. So I'm like, damn, like, how all these organizations, but sure enough, they got them in. And speaking of Hall of Fame, some of y'all might already know, we've seen my tweets on the timeline. I maintain that's one of my favorite spots of the website, part of my website, because I have a Hall of Fame for my website, but and as you might, you know, as wrestling fans, you might have gone to different sites and forums, you know, and seen, you know, a lot of sites have their own wrestling, their own Hall of Fame. What makes mine is a little bit different is WWE based, and of course, you know, to avoid confusion, I couldn't call it WWE Hall of Fame, but it's all a fun thing because, you know, it's just a hypothetical because I wanted – the reason why I made it WWE focus is because, as we know, the actual WWE Hall of Fame, because Vince has purchased all these libraries of defunct promotions like AWA, like I mentioned, talking about racing, and AWA, WCW, of course, we know they bought out WCW, ECW, all these, you know, former territory, even WCCW, World Class, all these territories. So they have to include, they included wrestlers who, you know, who were being in other territories when may not have ever even touched, or if they did, they were in WWE for maybe a cup of coffee. Like, we know the Freebirds, some of us might know the story about them. They were, like, in the WWE. They had to try in the 80s, but they were, like, in 84, but they were in WWE for, like, a cup of coffee. But, of course, they're legendary, no doubt. But, so I made WWE focus, and not so much that it's a problem, but also there's a lot of people that still, you know, and, of course, everybody can't get in all at the same time. But as I mentioned earlier, like, even WWE didn't start their Hall of Fame until 93. And, you know, so it's a lot of, and they even have as we all wrestling fans, they even had a gap where they went dormant. They stopped in 96, I think it was. And then they came back in 04, revitalized it. And so there's a lot of people that, you know, like I said, well, about my spotlight section of my website, there's a lot of people who deserve, you know, enshrinement and, you know, their day in the sun. And with WWE, even though there are other promotions, WWE haven't always been like the Microsoft of professional wrestling. You know, they got the stage that where everybody will see these people get shine. So I wanted to, you know, put shine on, you know, some people. Because even though it seemed like, even if you think about it, like, even like Bruno's period, well, we know Bruno for a long time refused. He had his issues, you know, the back and forth over years. And even Bruno, some of his peers, because it seemed like before, a lot of the focus on, especially the WWE guys, or people that guys that people were mostly associated with WWE, it seemed like there's a lot of focus on mainly like people who came, who were big during the national expansion. And I know even myself growing up, I was kind of, because you know, just like with sports, I mean, you can only go by what you've seen. So, you know, even a lot of guys, I admit, like I mentioned, I've been off and on over the years. You know, there's some guys, a lot of guys. Of course, I grew up with the guys who came along during the 80s national expansion in Africa. Of course, I mentioned some of the faves, Undertaker, you know, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Diesel, Razor Ramon, Mick Foley, of course, Steve Austin, you know, Ted DiBiase, Big Boss Man, you know, guys that, like most people, Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Ring, you know, most people will remember. But I noticed, like, even with the actual WWE, it's almost like there's some people that it seems like there's a lot of focus on just the people who came to the national expansion that most of the people our age will remember. So, like, it seemed like it's, you know, Halls of Fame are all about history. And it just seemed like it's not as much, you know, there, of course, you know, Bruno Sammartino and, Superstar Billy Graham, and some of the people, like Petro, like, as a matter of fact, he just celebrated his birthday last week, this past week, Sunday was his birthday. You know, it seemed like a lot, it's like there's a lot of people. Of course, like I say again, of course, everybody can't go at the same time, but so like a good number of people, like we could learn, like this year, Ivan Koloff passed. It seemed like a lot of people we could stand to learn about, and then we're not hearing about. So it seemed like just the 80s. So that's why I made it just WWE focus. And some of y'all, of course, some of y'all might have noticed, I'm pushing a lot. Like, you'll see me retweet and quote tweet my own tweet. So, you know, but the whole site is a labor of love. Like I said, I'm a wrestling fan a long time. You know, I love it. Like I said, it's helped me keep up to date with what's going on. Like I mentioned, the birthdays page. That's what helps me. That's funnily enough, helped me keep up with the roster, because I go to IG, you know, like a lot of, you know, sports organizations will wish happy birthday either to current players or former, and WWE does that same thing on IG. You know, they'll wish people, you know, commentators, wrestlers, past. Today was Taka Michinoku's birthday. Now, he even made a tweet about it because someone in the post response, oh man, where's the birthday wishes to CM Punk? So why are you giving something to your brother? And I laugh. I was like, even though I like talking, I was like, you know, so the whole site is a labor of love, you know, but like I said, it's, even for me, it's a learning, because I learn about wrestlers, you know, wrestlers, commentators, mm-hmm. you know, I take deaths, all that I try to keep up with, and it helps me do that.
All right.
So it's just really a labor of love.
All right, so y'all be sure to check the site out. Get some information on some legends and learn about the different halls of fame. So, thank you for joining us and telling us about your site, man. Thank you. So, of course, we're gonna get into our reviews as we had.
Yeah, some news first.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Sam. Jump in there.
All right. So, first thing, as you know, WWE is having their NXT weekend or whatever in San Antonio. In
Houston.
Houston, but like, there's okay. So, okay.
That's where the War Games is gonna return.
Yeah, but I think on that same day. Oh no, that's the day before when they're gonna have a Shawn Michaels in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna be the special referee Drew McIntyre and Adam Cole.
So apparently, I mean, they've done this before. I mean, they did it in the past. They did it in the '80s and the '70s. ROH is actually running a show that day, and so that's when they decided to add their show with Shawn Michaels. But ROH is countered by bringing in none other than Mr. Bullet Club himself, Kenny Omega.
Wow.
So now it's going to be which show do you want to go to?
Promotional battle. Nice.
Wow.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to either one of those shows. I am going to War Games, though. The match beyond.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, we're going to probably either that Saturday afternoon or Friday night. We're going to have a retro cast and we're going to watch out of the WWE collections a couple of or three War Games. I know which ones I want, but I got to make sure how long they are. And I know the first one is not all the way, so we may have to watch that one through Daily Motion.
I think the first one is like without commentary, but like on YouTube, it has full commentary.
Right. So, yeah, we'll probably have to watch the first one off YouTube. So we definitely got to watch the first one so everybody can get a grasp of it. We'll probably watch that one. We'll probably watch the one from 1992 with the Dangerous Alliance when Stone Cold Steve Austin was in there. Yeah, Sting Army against Dangerous Alliance. And we'll probably do 91 as well. Steiner Brothers, Brian Pillman. And Horseman.
Yeah, so. As long as you don't do the one with the Warrior, okay.
Oh heck no, man! We ain't doing anything after 92 because it got kind of weak after that.
Yeah, all I want out of War Games, NXT War Games, is for them to bring in Gary Michael Capetta to do the announcing for that match. And I want him to say, "The War Games, the match beyond begins. Submit or surrender." I want him to say that.
No, it's funny. I think I just saw him tweeted his the other day. Gary Michael Capetta.
He's still ring announcing. He does it at like indie shows.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. The most dangerous ring announcer in the world.
His full time job is he's a Spanish teacher somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that. But yeah. So now ROH has brought in Kimmy Omega to counter Shawn Michaels.
Wow.
So yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Jeff Jarrett got fired from Impact this week.
He's had a bad week. Yeah, now he's gone into rehab, apparently, for, I guess, alcohol.
Hopefully he gets he gets himself straightened back out and, can make shows and perform and, have a nice, healthy life.
It's
so cool.
So Nia Jax will be returning in time for the European tour. So all the rumors were not true. They just let her have a little lead because, of course, creative has nothing for you.
And I heard that she was kind of, she said she was getting kind of worn down. She had a couple of little nagging injuries and she just wanted to kind of get a chance to get healthy is what I heard too.
Yeah. Makes me want to go out and get my licensed physical therapy.
And
help her out.
I think it came because it came on the heels of Neville walking out. So then people started, I think, like, but it was Neville, and then now Nia Jax is unhappy. I didn't think she was leaving, though.
Let's see. Do y'all care about the WWE financials?
Not really, but are they doing okay? Are they losing money still?
They're doing better as far as like network subscriptions. They're doing better than last year, but they've actually gone down since last quarter.
Wow.
They do expect a huge drop in quarter four.
Yeah, because there's no big event worth you.
And apparently they've actually been up recently because they've had some strong main events on some good shows.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that say that like the matches don't matter, they matter when it comes to like pushing subscriptions and stuff.
Right. And the locker room is infected.
Oh yeah, Well, I finally found out who Pigeon Zero was. It's Bo Dallas.
Yes, because he was the first one to
pop up with.
I heard it was meningitis, but Roman has the mumps. It's been confirmed. So who knows?
They want the roster to go out and get meningitis shots and mumps, and also rubella.
Taking it back to like when you were a kid, getting ready to go to elementary school.
Go and get a rubella inoculation. Let's see. So, WWE is looking to shop some new reality shows. The ones thrown out there was a Miz and Maryse spinoff of Total Divas.
No thanks.
Also, a return of the Divas Search.
No, thank you.
You're not here for either one of those, huh?
No, I'm not.
Why would you need a Diva Search when you got NXT full of real wrestling girls?
Exactly.
Because they
don't love yourselves.
Because they
don't love yourselves.
Because they found women like Nikki Bella and Baba and all these other girls.
Hoopst. That's my favorite word now.
It's biting off more than you can chew.
Yeah, let's see. Where was it?
Worked so well the first time.
Because they found women like Maryse, Michelle McCool, Layla, Rosa Mendez, Kent, all women who have had long, successful.
Now, let's be clear. I loved Layla.
Eve Torres.
She was not, you know, I'm sure there are Laylas who actually want to wrestle. Like, you don't have to go find models and be like, can you wrestle? I'm just... They're right there.
You see what happens with Don? What happened with Don's girl?
Holmes.
You know. Oh, I'm talking about Eva. Yeah, two girls.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
You're talking about Eva Marie, or you're talking about Cameron?
Well, actually, both.
Okay.
Cameron don't like black people.
Are they really?
Well, she thinks they don't make the prettiest babies. She would much rather have a baby by a white guy to up her chances of having a pretty baby.
Really? Because Gru is not that attractive.
Whomst?
Gru. The guy.
Who's Gru?
The guy that looked like Gru from Despicable Me, the guy that she was dating.
Did he have money?
Vinny? I think his name was Vinny or something.
Did he have money?
I don't know.
Oh, because then it doesn't matter how cute he was if he has money. You know, rich people aren't ugly. You know, that's how that
You happens. Heard it here first, fellas.
Well, yeah, because they marry pretty people and they have pretty kids, of course.
Well, I mean, even if they don't. They go get surgery.
Okay.
They do. One of them little model girls. She had a nose job way before anybody knew about her. So when you look at her and you're like, she is gorgeous. She is. But she was just cute before that nose job.
Beauty with the insides. Completely.
I'm just telling you, you're not ugly. You're poor.
Okay.
Honestly, I didn't come up with it, but it's real.
Okay, so that's all the news I have for this week. Oh, all and right. Horsewomen versus Horsewomen is actually set for WrestleMania.
Who? Which ones?
Horsewomen versus Horsewomen.
Which Horsewomen?
The MMAs. MMA
the Asian ones or the MMAs ones?
The MMA ones against the WWE.
Oh, I don't want to see that bullshit. I hope they're on the pre-show.
It was actually supposed to be at Survivor Series, but they wanted to give your girl Ronda more time.
I hope they're on the pre-show. That way I can be like, didn't see it. Hell yeah. I'm going to say no anyway. I'm going to go to the other room. I'm not watching that bullshit. I'm here to watch wrestling. If I want to see you, I'll go watch MMA. Got here. All
right.
You don't even go here.
All right, so that's all I have right now.
All right. Thank you, sir. Speaking of say no to pre-shows. We had TLC this weekend, this past weekend, of course, hashtag no scrubs cast. thank you for everybody who participated in the live tweet. Greatly appreciate it. The kickoff show, hashtag Say Nada pre-shows, consisted of Alicia Fox versus the boss bae, Sasha Banks.
That was when you say yes to.
Say what now?
You say yes to that one.
Oh, no. Yeah, I did.
Still a pre-show.
That was like a creep-castic match.
Creep yes, match. We call it a Baywatch. So we had Sasha, she fights off Alicia Fox, and of course, she gets the win with the bank statement. So Sasha's streak of beating Alicia Fox continues. Unfortunately, I can't even ask Dee Dee any questions about the weave because she didn't see it. So we'll just have to move on.
Shouldn't have been on the pre-show.
Will you weave?
Oh, well.
So we move.
See what you did there.
We move into the main show, and we start off with Emma versus Asuka. Asuka catches Emma with the spinning heel kick. Then Asuka gets Emma to tap out to the Asuka lock. This match was booked like 60-40, and it should have been like 95-5.
Emma hadn't really been on TV much. Mm-hmm. I mean, and she had it was basically like if like Bret Hart went like had a 60-minute Iron Man match with Barry Horowitz.
Yeah, it was a match that didn't make Asuka seem special. It just made her seem like just another person on the roster. It didn't make her seem like a killer or
like make her come out strong. Like if you don't watch NXT, right. You've never seen this girl before, you'd be like, "Oh, what's so special about her? She just went, you know, she had just had a long match with a girl I never really see on TV."
Right. Or a girl who gets jobbed out on TV every week. So, yeah, just they did not book her strong on first glimpse. So, hopefully that begins to change.
It's like Kurt Angle's first match was against young Sean Stasiak. Mm-hmm. Now, they booked it for Kurt Angle to just he mopped the floor with his kid. They didn't go toe-to-toe for whatever.
Back and forth type of match, even match.
You look like Kurt Angle put him away quick.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, that this was going to be like Asuka was going to hit her with like all her big moves. Maybe Emma might get like a slap in or something by accident. And then that makes Asuka just go into super rage mode. And then she kicked her in the face and then put her in the Asuka lock. And we got about a 3.5 minute match. That would have been much better route to go.
The people online on Twitter who apparently are very good friends with Asuka and know her personally, apparently, I guess. Talking about, well, she doesn't like squash matches. You don't know her. You don't know.
So we had Dee Dee's bae / boo, Elias, come out to sing his song. Because here at the WrestleCast, we walk with Elias.
No, we don't.
But he gets...
Hey! So
you're outnumbered here, sir.
No, thank you.
Elias comes out to sing a song, but he gets shut down when Jason Jordan comes up and he's throwing food and disapproval. Just he's good groceries.
Which was actually very funny.
Yes.
They want me to believe that he went out in his tights to the grocery store across the street.
The grocery store? They have craft services in the back.
I was about to say, he stole that from catering, son.
Yeah.
Yo, did they steal a shopping cart from catering, too?
That's probably how they move the stuff. You would be surprised where random carts end up.
He went back exactly. And got some more.
Listen, all you need is one crackhead to steal it, and then they keep it. You don't give away wheeled things. You need things with wheels. Listen, if I put a cart outside my hallway, it's going to get stolen. We like wheeled things.
Yeah, it won't be there in the morning if you think it's going to leave this here.
Not at all.
You get $3.
Listen, my brother's neighbor got a damn shopping cart under her deck. And the closest grocery store is 2 miles away. So it's like, really?
I don't think this is the case here. I don't think he took it off a crackhead.
He took it from craft services because a crackhead left it there, is what I'm trying to tell you.
So we move on to our cruiserweight tag team match, the Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher.
This was too short.
Versus Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann.
You got like 5 minutes or something?
Yeah, something like that. Cedric Alexander hits the lumbar check on Brian Kendrick, and Cedric Alexander and Rich Homie Swan, please save the homie, get the win.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a really exciting, fast-paced cruiserweight match. I guess they were trying to, you know, build a crowd up, get some oohs and ahs. Rich Swan and Cedric Alexander, they're a pretty good duo, man. I'd like to see them actually kind of step out of 205 a little bit as a tag team and wrestle some main roster guys. That would be kind of cool.
That's not happening.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's a pipe dream. So next, we get Mickey James versus the Goddess Cakes champ, Alexa Bliss, for the Raw Women's title.
They spent more time trying to get Biscuit Butt over than actually, you know, focusing on the actual match.
Well, I thought that last night, the last The Go Home Show promo was really good, where Mickey James led the promo. I thought that was pretty good. I thought she got people to, you know, get into it. Alexa pulls.
They spent a lot of time trying to chant, get in the chant Biscuit Butt, but it didn't happen.
Because nobody knows what it means. They don't know if it's derogatory or if it's complimentary. So Alexa pulls Mickey by the arm into the turnbuckle. Alexa, follows up with what, DD? The DDT, and gets the win to retain the women's title.
What is a biscuit booty?
Yeah.
A deflated Caucasian ass.
So Maria. Okay.
That's what it is.
Maria Kanellis. Okay.
Alexa Bliss.
She's pregnant. She's going to have a really nice butt pretty soon.
Alexa Bliss making the DDT great again.
Nah.
So we get the cruiserweight title match between everybody's new favorite heel, Enzo Amore.
Oh, and hell no.
Kalisto. Enzo subscribing to the Austin Aries mode of operation, gives Kalisto a thumb to the eye. Then he gives them the eat the feet, or the Giordanzo, as he calls it.
He almost killed the man. He dropped him on his head.
and he regains the cruiserweight title.
It's like the simplest move you can do. I can do that move, but he, for some reason, can't pull that move off.
Well, I mean, nobody has ever said that Enzo was a technical wizard inside the ring, that he's smooth and you're going to get a, you know, Matt classic with Enzo in the ring. You get what you get. It looks rough. It looks...
I hope his voice comes back, because that's pretty much all he has right now.
But it's so funny.
It looks pretty much like a fight whenever Enzo's in the ring, because it doesn't look so smooth. Due to the illnesses that ran rampant throughout the locker room, on Friday, we got this big alert. I was about to get off of work about 3:50. My phone goes bzzz, and I get this thing that says, oh, Roman Reigns is sick, so we're going to have a replacement. And Bray Wyatt is also sick. So now AJ Styles is going to come from SmackDown Matters over to face the Demon King, Finn Balor.
Oh, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
I missed all of that. I just knew the shit happened, and I was like, that sounds stupid.
So,
all of that built up.
Oh, yeah. It happened really late on Friday. So, you told me the week that you had. So, yeah, I see how you missed it.
Yeah.
So, of course, everybody is just so stoked for this match. I mean, this was literally a dream match. They've never wrestled on a big stage, at least before. This might have been the first time they've ever wrestled, as far as I know. So, the two former leaders of the Bullet Club.
As far as I know, they never wrestled before.
All right. The two former leaders of the Bullet Club facing each other in the WWE. Man, this was everything that we thought it would be, and maybe a little bit more. AJ misses the 450 splash, but leads to the sling blade, then the shotgun dropkick. Finn then hits the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp, and Finn Balor gets the win over AJ Styles. After the match, of course, they do the handshake and hug, and then they throw up the too sweet to each other. Just epic crowd chanting too sweet, too sweet. So, yeah, Match of the Night and one of the best matches of the year for WWE, for sure.
Every time Finn does that coup de grace, I always have to cringe because it always looks like he's about to just mess up his ankle.
Break his ankle? Yeah. You always tell me that you fear he's going to.
Every time I'm like, ugh.
He's going to turn it wrong. V, what'd you think about this dream match, man?
Which dream match?
AJ Styles and Finn Balor.
I wasn't on Mr. Pay-Per-View, but from what I'm saying, it was pretty good. I thought there's a lot of people, but what I did see, it's funny. I follow Jimmy Corderas, and it seemed like it was. And I also follow Dave Meltzer. It seemed like a good number of people were that WWE was doing this dream match too soon, but Jimmy Corderas and I'm not sure Dave Meltzer, but I don't know. I did see at least him say that, do it, because I guess some fans' point was, oh, man, you didn't get a chance to build this up. This is a dream match, but you didn't get a chance to build it up with no storyline. Wholesome storyline follows. But that was the best they could do. And from my understanding, they did get a good number of people like it, so I'm trying to make sure I check it out myself. But yeah, that seemed to be what the fans said. But given what happened, the sickness, a lot of guys were out. I mean, that's the best. I know even Triple H did one night, one in the night, so live events. Yeah.
A lot of crazy logistics had to go down because SmackDown was in South America. They were in Chile, actually. Right. So AJ Styles had to wrestle on Friday in Chile. Then he caught the flight on Saturday to come back. It's like a 18-hour flight. And then Triple H took his place in Chile. That's how they kind of worked it out. So the thing about it is, Vince, basically his motto is, if I do have to, card is subject to change, then I'm going to try to give the fans something bigger than they were expecting. So this definitely turned out on that. And plus, it's a dream match. That is the story.
Yeah, exactly. Because like you alluded to, Vince will do whatever to entertain the fans. That's his thing. He always says it. Entertainment. That's what
I mean. Personally, I was very, very, very entertained. Yes, I was.
Yeah, it was great.
The right one won. Even though I'm normally Team Blue, the right person did win that match. So
okay, yeah. I was about to jump in and be like, "How did you feel about
I know, but we didn't have prep. He was in a whole other continent, if you want to be specific about it. It wasn't fair. It would be different, maybe. Maybe it would be different if, But yeah.
And always remember, AJ Styles is the face that rents the place. That's right. That Jonay built.
And
besides, knowing WWE, especially the booking over the last few years, how they like to make fans kind of forget, but you didn't forget stuff. I wouldn't put it past WWE to Vince to put that, make that a few anyway. They can make up some kind of way to match again, even put a few behind it, engine promotion a few. I'm sure they can make it happen. They did it for Hulk and Andre. Andre and Hulk had faced off before that in the WWE in the 70s. And he's never been body slammed, no. Plenty of people, Harley Brace, plenty of people had body slammed before that. So if they could do that, then I'm sure they can somehow make it work again,
Oh yeah, it's gonna happen again on a bigger stage eventually. But let it be about 6 or 8 months before it happens. Don't try to shoehorn it into like WrestleMania.
Right.
So next up, after another chance of trying to get his song out, and Jason Jordan comes back out again with the fruit and vegetables. We get the match between Elias and Jason Jordan.
It's a horrible match.
Jason Jordan gets the win with the roll up.
Jason Jordan tried his best to get at least a decent match out of this guy.
Ugh. Elias Sampson is pretty decent wrestling, I think. It's Jason Jordan that has the problem with the you know, the matches. The fans don't really know what to think about him yet. They're still trying to figure it out.
Now, was this the match where it had the suspect ending, or was that on Raw?
No, that was on Raw.
Okay. Because that shit was some bullshit, but we'll get there.
No, this actually ended with Jason Jordan.
Fair and square.
Then we get the main event of the evening.
This is a great main event, too.
As Kurt Angle
was
nominated or stepped up to take the place of Roman Reigns to join Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose to form the Shield. During the pay-per-view, they come to Kurt, and Kurt's like, hey, y'all want to talk about strategy, this or that and the third? And they're like, nah, we came to give you the colors. And so they gave Kurt the tactical vest, and then the music hit. Of course, the searchlight is searching around for him. Dean and Seth come out, top of the, you know, at the top of the stands or whatever. Then all of a sudden, about 10 seconds later, here comes Kurt Angle popping in behind him with the biggest smile on his face.
And the biggest head ever.
I'm about to go do this. So, of course, the match is just crazy. The Shield, they grab, you know, tables, ladders, and chairs, Matt. So they grab some steel chairs once they pop over the barricade.
Kurt Angle worked with Kane almost exclusively because he knew he could trust him to not drop him on his neck.
And he beat the shit out of Braun Strowman for not giving his kids an autograph.
Did you notice it, like, when they did the double powerbomb on when Cesaro and what's his name did the double powerbomb on him? They dropped him as gingerly as possible. They were really light with him.
He's had a broken freaking neck.
I didn't say it was bad. I was just like, look at how they mess with him with kids' clothes. It was so funny.
Right. So
we're not trying
get a crazy brawl, chairs galore, because, you know, the Shield have to have something to kind of even up the odds as they're going up against Miz, Kane, The Bar, and Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman gives Kurt the big power slam through the table. And of course, you know, Kurt being the old man, they have to come check on him. EMTs drag him to the back. So now it's 5-on-2. So, you know, 5-on-2 beat down goes on for a little while, and then Braun Strowman and Kane, they start getting with each other, and then this causes the four teammates to jump Braun Strowman. For some reason, they all decided to be on Kane's side. They all jump Braun Strowman. Then the Miz backed up a garbage truck, and they toss Braun Strowman in the garbage truck.
You missed the part where he powered on them off the stage or whatever he did.
Oh yeah.
And he dropped all the chairs on him.
Yeah.
Before the John Cena. John Cena did that to the Miz or somebody one time.
Thank you, sir. So anyway, Kurt Angle comes back down, and, you know, he just starts wrecking shop. He gives a backdrop to Cesaro. He gives Sheamus an angle slam. He gives Cesaro an angle slam through a table. And so now, you know, he's wrecking shop. I forgot what they did to Kane, but they get Kane wiped out. So now it's just the Miz left with no help. Of course, he takes the Snowmaker. Then he takes the Dirty Deeds. Then the Olympic Slam. And finally, the Shield Tripper Powerbomb finishes the Miz off. And Kurt Angle, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose do the Shield fist bump, and they are your winners.
And the Miz was like having the time of his life. He was smiling the whole time. Did you see him when they gave him the triple power bomb? He had the biggest grin on his face.
So, like Sam said, this was a really fun main event. It had some, you know, divergence here and there with the Strowman and Kane thing.
There was a period of like 10 to 12 minutes where nothing happened.
Right, right. But overall, it was almost a 40-minute main event. It was really a lot of fun. Yeah, it was really a lot of fun. For having to call an audible at the last minute, they really delivered.
I don't even want to know that they compacted Braun Strowman. He's going to come out like thin, like squashed. He's going to come out square.
Yeah, that's what he's going to come out.
He's going to be come out in a box.
Square.
It's like in Star Wars where they get in that trash compactor and they get squashed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's gonna come out like that.
So, what would you give it as a grade? What would you grade it as if you were giving it a letter the whole show.
The whole show was actually okay. I mean, except for Enzo and like Elias, it was actually an okay show, decent show. Okay. Let me see. As a grade out of like 10, I'd probably give it like maybe an 8.
Okay, Dee Dee, what about you?
We talking grade?
Yeah.
B+. Okay. Not B? B+. B. Regular.
Yeah,
B.
Yeah. I thought it was a B level show as well, as far mm-hmm. as the grade. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And AJ and Finn, you know, tore it down as yes. the show. So.
Yes, they did. Bless them.
They tore the house down.
Say what, Sam?
So did Enzo and Kalisto tore the house down.
So now we're going to move into Monday Night Raw. Start out the big, of course, opening promo. Kurt Angle comes out to thunderous ovations. You suck. He's just soaking it all in. Then he starts to tell us about the Survivor Series, how it's going to be Raw versus SmackDown, and it's going to be champion versus champion. So we're going to have Alexa Bliss versus Natalya. We're going to have The Miz versus Baron Corbin. We're going to have the Usos versus Rollins and Ambrose. And finally, we're going to have Jinder Mahal versus Brock Lesnar. He also says that there will be two traditional Survivor Series 5-on-5 elimination matches, a men's match and a women's match. Of course,
the object here is to see how far they can throw the Singh brothers. Randy Orton, he threw them up pretty high. So now Brock is going to shoot them into the rafters.
Yeah, I said last week, I hope their insurance is paid up because they gonna really take a whooping. But anyway, The Miz comes out. He says Kurt should resign as GM. The Miz and The Bar, they come out. They circle the ring like they're going to, jump on Kurt. Of course, The Shield comes out. They come down to back up Kurt. So the Miz and The Bar, they kind of back away. Angle then says that he's going to make a match between Miz and The Bar versus Seth, Dean, and still on loan from SmackDown Matters, AJ Styles. And of course,
I just realized why they're DD's favorite team, because they're The Bar.
They're The and Bar.
DD goes to The Bar.
Oh, goodness.
Hi, DD.
Did you hear that?
What?
You missed it.
You missed it. We'll move on.
It was some little shady comment, and I know it was you, Samuel.
He said that.
That much of it.
He said that you like.
Said something, you said Dee Dee, and then you were like, ooh, because you know better.
He says that you like Sheamus and Cesaro because mm-hmm. they're The Bar, and you go to The Bar.
Well, yeah. He got me there.
So this is a long opening TV match. The faces end up clearing the ring. Rollins and Ambrose hit dives, and Styles finishes Cesaro with the springboard phenomenal forearm, and they get the win. After the match, Kane comes out, and he joins in with The Miz, Cesaro, and Sheamus to beat down Rollins and Ambrose.
If you notice his new wig, it looks like a pompadour or something. Like he's going to do some Elvis impersonation.
Yeah, everybody's been talking about the new mask and kind of how the hair looks on it, and they're like, "Oh, it looks different than it used to." So it's been really funny, kind of, hearing people's reactions to that. Kane cuts a promo and says that he heard the stories of Strowman destroying people. They called him a monster among men, but he had to see it for himself. He said, all he saw was a pile of trash.
He said, "If he does not win the mayorship of Knox County, he will set himself on fire."
So he said that all he saw was a pile of trash, so he put Braun where he belonged. He said he saw fear in Strowman's eyes, and Strowman saw that Kane will always be Raw's only monster, and now Kane wants some competition or else. So, who comes out as the competition? None other than Finn Balor. Finn hits the shotgun dropkick. He heads up to the top to do the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp. But Kane grabs him from the top and choke slams him. Then he hits him with another choke slam. And just for good measure, a third choke slam. And Kane defeats Finn Balor. This was the dumbest booking I've ever seen.
Like, if you want to make Kane strong, have him against, put him against a jobber.
Versus Kurt Hawkins.
LC. Put him against LC.
Versus Kurt Hawkins.
Literally anybody but the guy that just had the best match of the night.
Yeah, the guy who had like just an
literally anybody
match.
Else.
You don't have to squash him the next night.
Yeah, I don't get it. I didn't get that one either.
Yeah, they definitely chopped Finn off at the legs, man. So good luck rehabbing yourself after that one. Shane pops up backstage. They talk nice, and Angle even tries to get AJ over to Raw. Poor Shane refuses. Angle then starts to talk trash about kicking SmackDown's ass at Survivor Series last year. But Shane says SmackDown will kill Raw this year at Survivor Series.
That's right.
So then we get the rematch of the pay-per-view match as we have Asuka versus Emma again. And
it's kind of the same. Even weaker than the first one.
Right. Same formula as they kind of have a back-and-forth match. Emma slams Asuka to the corner, rolls her up, but Asuka escapes, locks in the Asuka lock, and Emma taps out.
So congratulations. She's now officially just another girl on the roster.
Yes, which is so, so, so sad because she is so special in NXT. My favorite, Alexa Bliss, comes out. She puts over a win against Mickey James last night at Survivor, and then she says at Survivor Series that she's going to put down the cat lady, Natalya. She says she gets disrespected while Baylor and Styles stared into each other's eyes while the crowd chanted, "This is awesome." She claims that the fans are jealous of her, and she tries to lead the sheep in a chant, but of course, they don't pick up on the "you deserve it." So then Mickey comes down. Mickey attacks Alexa Bliss, hit her with a couple of forearm shots, and then she gives her the Mick DDT and some 6-inch club shoes.
Yeah, she did. Them wasn't gym shoes. Them was, I'll just be in the street looking like a snack shoes, and we still whooped her ass.
It wasn't wrestling boots. It wasn't even wedges. These things were
stilettos.
Serious.
Huh. You wait till you see Dana Brooke run.
The club.
She was running with some heels.
So we have Bayley and Sasha backstage. They beat with Kirk. Alicia Fox comes in, and they all want to be captain of the women's Survivor Series team. So of course, Kirk makes a three-way, and the winner will be the captain of the women's Ross Survivor Series team. Our favorite, the Drifter, comes back down, plays the tune.
Yes.
But he makes fun of Aaron Rodgers and his broken collarbone. He starts to run down Jason Jordan for disrespecting him at TLC. And he says he has something special planned for tonight. We start hearing like distortion noises that keep interrupting the song. So, you know, Elias gets pissed. He gets on the mic. He rants about the techs not doing their job. And he threatens to beat the hell out of them. And then, of course, Jason Jordan comes down to the ring. So now we have Jason Jordan versus Elias. They brawl to the floor as Jordan repeatedly slams Elias into the barricades. Elias then makes his way over to his guitar, and then he gives him the business by smashing the guitar on the shoulder of Jason Jordan. Now, Jeff Jarrett used to have the exploding gimmick guitars with the baby power and everything. Elias be hitting folks with a real ass guitar.
That's
because
right.
Jason Jordan's shoulder was black and blue in like 30 seconds.
He hit him on the shoulder, right? I mean, because like when I first saw it, I thought he hit him in the head. I was like, what the hell?
But well, when
he did hit him in the shoulder, though.
Yeah, when he hit Finn in the head, he almost, you know, cut the man's head off. So they at least revised it this time.
Yeah, that was an actual guitar.
Oh, yeah. There was no gimmick to that guitar. That thing was the real deal, Holyfield, man. So Yeah, Jason Jordan's arm was just nasty looking, man, and he really was hurt because he laid down on that floor for about 5 minutes before they scraped him up. So then everybody's favorite hype man, Paul Heyman, comes out. He says that someone has an issue that Brock is the undisputed champion in WWE, a man who has barely survived his challenges. Meanwhile, Brock has gone through the most stacked roster in WWE history. But we live in the age of trash talking. Everybody wants to be the king of trash talk, but Paul Heyman is the only king of trash talk. And he said, but despite that fact, he always tries to put over Brock's opponents because they're the real men. He said he praised Goldberg, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and rightfully so. But as of for the make-believe Maharaja with the knockoffs, meaning the Singh brothers, doing Paul shtick, Mahal isn't even a worthy pretender to the crown of WWE champion. Heyman then runs down a long list of big-time WWE champions, Hogan, San Martino, and others. He calls Mahal a consolation prize when SmackDown got the shaft and the shakeup. Paul says that, you know, they are the brand with Brock, and that makes them the number one brand. So at Survivor Series, Mahal is headed to Suplex City, but it will get worse because the last time a SmackDown star battled Brock, the match was stopped. He says Brock violated all the rules of the PG era, and that Jinder Mahal's challenge is officially accepted. So, this was kind of a different interview from Paul that we've heard from lately. I liked it. It had some bite to it. So, you know, nobody thinks Jinder should be the champ anyway. So, why go out here and fake it? So, Paul did. Next, we get Charlie Caruso. Please say the Caruso. She interviews Kalisto. He's upset that he lost the title last night. And he said that tomorrow night on 205 Live, he will invoke his rematch clause against Enzo. But tonight, Kalisto, Rich Swann, Mustafa Ali, and Cedric Alexander, and Grand Metalik will face off against Enzo, Daivari, Tony Nese, Noam Dar, and Drew Gulak. Alicia Fox sneaks in. She actually rolls in behind Bayley as Bayley is getting ready to set up for the Bayley to belly on Sasha, but Fox actually gives it to her. Bayley rolls out to the floor. Then Sasha Banks gets in the bank statement.
Wait, you didn't say this was a match. You said it was.
Triple threat match. Alicia Fox, Sasha Banks, and Bayley. Sasha Banks locks in the bank statement, but Alicia Fox escapes. She then slams Sasha into Bayley and rolls Sasha up. And Alicia Fox is going to be the captain of the Raw Women's Survivor Series team.
I really thought it was clever that she like was mimicking Bayley. I thought that was funny.
Bayley. Okay, so now, Didi, Fashion Cast, Weave Cast, thoughts, concerns?
Sure. I mean, I'm not concerned with the weave. It's not good, but it never has been good for Alicia. It's fine.
Okay.
I mean, it's not fine, but listen, it has come to my attention that Sasha and Naomi are friends or friendly enough to joke about hair, which means that Sasha's hair is suspicious because Sasha just doesn't want to follow directions. And then that means that she should be close enough to Alicia, as the elder stateswoman of black wrestlers at the WWE at the moment, to tell her, you know, your edges are looking a little suspicious, my doll. Maybe we ought to rethink what we're doing. And, you know, what's her name seems a little histrionic. Alicia does. Like, she doesn't really follow directions. Like, she doesn't want to take advice. And so her hair going to be what her hair going to be. Long story, not so long.
I think that's what it is. I think they tell her, and she's just like, whatever, I'll do what I want.
Yeah, it's just going to be what it's going to be. And there's nothing anybody can do. We all, listen, if y'all know that it's not right, she knows that it's not right. Because, like, come on. So, you know, it's just going to be what it is until she decides it's not. You know?
The team of Arya Daivari, Enzo, Tony Nese, Noam Dar, and Drew Gulak are standing in the ring. Drew Gulak has Enzo's microphone because he has to talk for Enzo because he lost his voice. He has a Enzo script, and Gulak reads it out in the, like, most uncool, like, you know, every syllable pronounced type of white man voice possible.
I loved it. I loved all of it.
They made jokes about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and at the very end, they each took a letter and spelling out soft, and Enzo's was the roughest because he got T, because that's all he could really muster because his voice was really shot. So then we get the match, Kalisto, Rich Swann, Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, and Grand Metal League versus Enzo, Arya Daivari, Tony Nese, Noam Dar, and Drew Gulak. Enzo slams Kalisto to the corner, then hits the DDG, but Ali and Alexander make the save. We get big-time dives to the outside, and Kalisto hits the Salida del Sol to pin Enzo.
It was lit.
Yeah, I think it picked up once they did those big dives as everybody kind of got into the match then. Grand Metal League is the shit, man. He is so good. You could really do a lot more with him, but they don't. Then we get Kurt Angle. He's coming back out to talk Survivor Series. He hypes up Survivor Series, and then all of a sudden, Shane arrives to interrupt him. But Shane is in the crowd, and behind him, he has the entire, well, most of the SmackDown Matters
roster. He's got the SmackDown B team. Come on.
No.
Oh, he had a couple of A-listers in there.
Okay, so, oh, wait, the whole roster is a B team. Sorry.
No, don't do that. That's disrespectful. All he was missing was the Usos and Naomi.
And Charlotte.
Oh, wait, he didn't have Charlotte?
No, Charlotte was
white people look alike. I'm sorry.
So did anyway.
You see the picture? I'm getting ahead of myself, but did you see the picture of where Little Miss Cat Lady's arms were door to confront the women?
No.
Nope.
They were all up on Zack Ryder's no-no parts.
Okay. Oh,
I'm gonna show you.
Need to have a talk with her then.
Yeah, I was about to say that
because she was squeezing. It wasn't no, like she had it, and I was like, "What's this about?"
It was like that time they had that big brawl and JBL just smacked the, what's the name of the eye? It's like that, but with Natalya and his Zack Ryder's parts.
Oh, goodness. So, of course, they make the long walk through the crowd. They all hop over the barrier. They surround the ring. Kurt Angle, shook.
Shook.
Take your pick. Shane gets in the ring. And he says that Raw is under siege. So, of course, Kurt Angle ain't no dummy. He jumps the hell out of the ring. He starts almost sprinting to the back.
Damn right.
Shane then orders the SmackDown roster to head to the back and go get him. So, the first two people they run into in the back are Titus and Apollo Crews. And they get their asses whooped. Rusev gives Titus the big boot into the garage door. They beat down Apollo Crews. Then Corbin sees a production geek. He beats him up, tosses him into, like, you know, the wall or whatever. They tear down this big old flat screen TV that had Raw on it. Then they make their way.
Well, they gently pushed it backwards.
Okay. Then they see Kurt Hawkins and Goldust. They get beat down. Then they make their way into the locker room. Jason Jordan, he catches it from his old tag team partner, Chad Gable.
Matt Hardy's in there.
Chad Gable
yes, he
right
did.
After him.
Immediately.
He's like, how you going to leave me alone with this old man?
Matt Hardy's in the room. He gets beat down. I think the Good Brothers were in there. They got beat down. So they're, you know, leave that locker room and they're walking through the back. Then all of a sudden, they see Sasha, Bailey, and was that Alicia standing there? I forgot who the third person was. But anyway, as DD mentioned, the SmackDown Matters women bust through the crowd, and they start beating down the Raw women. Leave them laying. So Shane is pleased with his team. Rollins and Ambrose, they try to do a sneak attack. Seth Rollins coming from out the sky. But, of course, too many people. The numbers get to them. Leave them laid out. And they grab Kurt Angle and make him watch this. Then they escort Kurt Angle all the way back from the backstage back to the ring as the entire Raw basically roster that's on the premises has just been laid out. Shane then tells him to bring Angle into the ring. Shane says that at Survivor Series, bring your gold medal and what's left of your roster, and we'll finish it. And they just leave Kurt Angle looking dumbfounded in the middle of the ring.
Boom.
What'd you think, Dee Dee?
We won. As we do. I mean, that was real rude to me to laugh like that. But, I mean, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking to see, like, Xavier Woods, like,
leading the charge. Yes, he did.
Trash talking the whole way, running commentary.
Thugged out.
And yeah, but the funniest part was when they, Sam said, was when they, after they left the locker room, when they were walking through, where the ladies get their makeup done. And Dana Brooke and who else was that?
It was like some backstage girls.
Yeah, and some of the makeup artists were back there. And man, when Dana Brooke saw that mob of folks, she wasn't trying to put up no fight. She took the hell off and was gone. You could have seen like Sonic, the little smoke coming from behind her, man. And it generated some fantastic memes. You know, basically everybody was saying she was like running like Forrest Gump. So that was Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke probably got herself over by taking off and running than she's done at any point in the ring. So that was really a standout moment. So that was a really fun ending to Raw. Didn't expect to see, you know, SmackDown come through there and crush the buildings, but that's exactly what happened. So that was your Monday Night Raw for this week as we set up Survivor Series. So, of course, at this time, turn it over to SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jonet.
Yeah, man. The things that happened, I was late because the buses, you know, DC traffic. So I didn't see everything, but I know people and my people write notes. So if my notes are right, I can tell you what happened.
Like in school, you gotta use somebody else's notes.
Hey. First of all, I got my straight B's all by myself in school. Thank you. I never cheated. That's why I got a D in algebra too. Anyway, it started off the show with Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin versus The New Day. Usos on commentary. They mentioned the Survivor Series because that's coming up next. Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada. Chad shoved Xavier and Shelton nailed him with a kick to the back behind the referee's back. And then Gable covered him for the win. That's all that happened. In the back, Charlotte, Naomi, Becky, Lana, Tamina are all around Daniel Bryan's office. Carmella's there. Daniel comes up and he says they're all going to be on the Survivor Series team. And they're like, yay. And Lana's like, well, wait, but there are six of us. And he was like, oh, girl, I ain't mean you. So then later on tonight, the women are going to compete in a match to determine the team captain. Next, Don's favorite segment, Fashion Files. Episode title, Fashion Dogs. Breezango are arguing over which one of them is Mr. Pink from the movie Reservoir Dogs. Ellsworth is tied up to a chair. The Ascension show up with gasoline. Carmella shows up with her briefcase. Fandango takes the briefcase and pulls out Ellsworth's dirty drawers. Breezango celebrate because they solved the case, but the Ascension point out that they didn't solve anything. And then they said it must be the Bludgeon Brothers that are behind the attacks. And next week, it will be Stranger Things. And then backstage, well, how did we feel about it, Don? Was it funny? Did we like it?
Oh, yeah, I liked it, especially about the, what he said, you're hot pink and I'm whatever he said he was.
I saw it, but I don't remember the details.
Yeah, so that was good. I liked it a lot. Plus, the board was really good.
I'm sad. Ever since I realized that they don't do the board, it's just like, oh, well, at least somebody on the show is exceedingly clever. Next, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon meet backstage. He's like, yeah, great, happy to see you, glad you're upright, but I'm very upset that you didn't inform me that you were going to attack last night. He said he didn't approve of the attack, and Shane was like, I'm the commissioner and I don't give a fuck what you approve, more or less. You know, they don't really curse.
on the WWE. I'm just telling you what I got. Next, Baron Corbin versus the all-time champ backstage Sin Cara. Baron Corbin beat the shit out of Sin Cara because we were not backstage.
He got DQ'd for Sam's favorite reason, beating too much ass.
Yep. And so after the match, Baron gives Sin Cara the end of days on the floor. The Singh brothers come out, do their intro for Jinder Mahal. This by mocking Paul Heyman's introduction for Brock Lesnar.
That was some good trolling. That was some real good trolling.
Calls themselves advocates. And then Jinder comes out, calls Heyman a liar. Shows Heyman's promo from last night. He says he's the most dominant world champion, but the WWE Universe doesn't give him the same respect he gets from the people of India because, you know, racism. Jinder proclaims that the Maharaja era has just begun. Who's like, nigga, you from Canada? That was funny. AJ then interrupts Jinder's promo. Next, AJ is out here to fight Sunil Singh. Samir is ringside. Jinder Mahal was sent to the back. Lee wins via the calf crusher. Backstage, Kevin and Sammy meet. They're loving up on each other. Kevin has a qualifying match against Shinsuke. Whose shit is in the background? Turn it off. I'm so sorry. Put your shit on mute. Put your phone on mute. Or put your TV on mute like my TV's on mute. It's not on mute.
No, it's not.
We're going to play the Jeopardy music in the intro. Oh, there we go. Great. Wonderful. Where was I? Yes. Kevin and Sammy. Shinsuke has a match with Kevin next week to be a part of the Survivor Series. And Zayn's like, oh, dude, we're totally going to win our match. Sammy has a match later today against All Lives. But in the meantime, we're doing the women's, what's it called? Survivor Series team captain match. It's Becky versus Charlotte, Naomi, Carmella, Tamina. Lana's at ringside. Blah, blah, blah. Natty's also at ringside on commentary. Blah, blah, blah. They're brawling outside of the ring. Tamina tosses Charlotte into the crowd. There's a near fall on Becky. Becky uses the disarmer to beat Carmella, team captain at the Survivor Series for the women. There's another promo for the Bludgeon Brothers. Renee interviews Dolph Ziggler in the back. He mentions beating Bobby Roode last week. Bobby shows up. Dolph is like, I beat you twice. And he's like, twice sounds nice. Why don't we have a 2 out of 3 falls match next week? Next, and the biggest disappointment of October, Randy defeats Sammy to earn a spot on SmackDown Men's Division Survivor Series team. Even though Sammy hit a moonsault over the barricade onto the floor, even though, you know, the shit was lit, even though Kevin Owens came out to try to interrupt, he was distracted a little bit and Zayn scored a near fall. The referee tries to tell Kevin to go to the back. And then Randy uses a low blow on Sammy. And then all of a sudden, the fuck-ass ring announcers, not ring announcers, but, you know, commentary team are like, yeah, that's what Sammy gets. Excuse me, bitch. Why are we okay with a low blow? Ain't he supposed to be the good guy? What is this bullshit? I don't like it. The rules should apply to everybody. That's heel tactics. You're trying to act like he the good guy. He ain't the good guy. But whatever. That's just me. Long story, not so long. He followed up with the RKO when he won the match. Therefore, Sammy will be the team captain.
Orton.
I don't know if that's true.
No, Randy, Orton will be the first member on the team.
Yeah, these notes are wrong. Randy's on the team. We don't know if he's the captain yet. Then, Daniel and Shane meet again. Daniel Bryan points out that there's no retaliation from Raw tonight, but that doesn't mean they won't strike back eventually. When they do, Shane will have to deal with the consequences. But we all know they're going to attack. So what is this background noise? Okay, I'm done. I quit. Whatever. So, bye.
Yeah, still going to come back at some point. It's basically the thing. And he's like, you know, you better be ready, Shane, because this is all in your lap, not mine.
AKA be prepared.
Right.
So what I keep reading is that, like, Daniel Bryan's going to join Owens and Zayn in his whole anti
for what?
Anti-Shane
thing. Oh, okay, sure.
Like, because he was already griping about, like, oh, you don't tell me anything.
Interesting.
The greatest thing ever was when the announcement came out that Kurt Angle was going to wrestle.
Oh, yeah, he had that tweet. Yeah.
Yeah, he just had that interesting, and then he had, like, the, you know, hand on the chin emoji, like,
Yeah, what are they going to do? They'll fire him. He can do whatever he wants.
Didi, I have to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
They did not change Sammy's music. They have not changed his gear.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that is different is the way he dances. Do you like it? It is so good.
I do like it.
It is so over the top and just annoying. It is great. 205 Live, I mean, it's really just Enzo and Kalisto. Enzo gets disqualified, and Kalisto was up on the top rope. He threw the ref into the ropes. Of course, that causes a disqualification. Post-match, Kalisto attacks and beats down Enzo. Enzo manages to grab his mic and proclaims himself still the champion. So we had Drew Gulak and Graham at Elite. Graham at Elite counters a slingshot, but Gulak slips him to gets him into the Dragon Sleeper, and Graham at Elite has to tap. After the match, Drew Gulak starts to attack him again, but Akira Tozawa comes back down, makes a save. He lights up Gulak and sends him to the floor. Gulak runs away. Kendrick and Gallagher are here. They're claiming that they're here to make peace. They think that Cedric Alexander has potential, but not as long as he's with Rich Swann. Gallagher says that he was there once, but he changed his ways. He says the people don't matter and Rich Swann don't matter. He says Alexander has cruelty and that will take him far. He says next week they're coming for Swann, and they tell Alexander to think on it and make the right decision, or they'll make it for him. And, of course, that actually came after Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander defeated Noam Dar and Tony Nese. Of course, Cedric Alexander beats Noam Dar with the lumbar check. So that was 205 Live. The lumbar check might be one of the top five finishing moves in WWE right now. It looks so sweet whenever he does it. Let everybody know, this episode of the WrestleCast is brought to you by Audible. Audible.com. Where they have over 150,000 audiobooks that you can choose from. And you can get a free download and a free 30-day trial by using the going to the website www.audibletrial.com/WrestleCast.
I've actually been using Audible lately, and it's actually really cool. You should check it out because you get a free, like, right off the bat, just for signing up and, you know, doing the 30-day trial, you get, like, an audiobook that you can keep. And those things are not lightweight. They're not like trial versions. They're the actual whole thing. So you should check it out.
Yeah. That's www.audibletrial.com/WrestleCast to get not only a free download of any audiobook out of the 150,000 that they have available, but like Sam said, you get the free 30-day trial. So you can check it out for 30 days, see if you like it. Most people, like Sam said, you know, once they, you know, get into it, you know, if you like podcasts or whatever, it's kind of the same thing. It's just, you know, a book in that version. So
I think they also have like podcast type things on there as well. You can check, you can look through their whole library. There's free stuff on there as well.
Yeah.
Well, we like it free.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So support Audible and support the CSPN. Next up, we have NXT. Regal starts the show by announcing that Nikki Cross will be added to the Battle Royal due to interference in her match last week. Regal then says that Sanity and Authors of Pain will face off next week in a tag team title rematch, and Regal bans the member of Sanity who isn't competing in the match from ringside. We get the brand new tag team, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, go up against DeeDee's faves, Riddick Moss and Tito Sabatelli. Sabatelli gets Lorcan in the gory special, then Moss hits the ropes and bulldogs Lorcan, and they get the upset win. This was actually a pretty good match. It had my jaw dropped though, because I just knew only Lorcan and Danny Burch are going to win, because they've been kind of forming this team over like the last month. They wrestled each other like basically two out of three times, and then they got beat up by Laura Sullivan, and then they kind of banded together. So I figured that they would, you know, get the win here. But nope, Riddick Moss and Tito Sabatelli, they were victorious. Then the highlight, one of the highlights of the night, we had the Women's Battle Royal to determine the final member of the Fatal 4-Way that will be going down at TakeOver Houston. So we had Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, Tayari Conti, Lacey Evans, Sarah Logan, Dakota Kai, Bianca Belair, Sage Beckett, Zeta, Mercedes Martinez, Abby Leigh, Vanessa Bourne, Santana Garrett, Aaliyah, Rhianna Gonzalez, and Nikki Cross as our participants. You know, lots of eliminations and things going down. So, you know, starting to get pared down a little bit. Ring is getting less crowded when Bianca Belair press slams Candice LeRae onto the floor to a pile of other women for an elimination. Belair then starts to work over Billie Kay and tries to toss her out. But as she is on the other side of the ring on the apron holding on for dear life, Billie Kay grabs on to Bianca's braid and basically holds on to it like a rope and saves herself from getting eliminated. Well, once Billie Kay got back into the ring, Bianca Belair beat the shit out of her with the hair and literally left welts on her. They showed on WWE.com and on their Twitter site. I mean, she had these huge welts from where she got her ass beat literally by Bianca Belair's hair. Nikki Cross and Billie Kay brawl to the floor, and Bianca looks to eliminate Martinez. But Mercedes Martinez battled back, and they work. You know, she works over Bianca in the corner. Martinez almost eliminates Bianca, but Bianca saves herself and pulls Martinez to the apron, and they trade strikes. Then Nikki Cross comes from the up from the opposite side, charges them both, and eliminates them as she knocks them off the apron. Then Billie Kay tries to sneak up behind Nikki and eliminate her, but she only goes. But Nikki manages to go underneath the bottom rope. She sneaks back in behind her, tosses out Billie Kay, and Nikki Cross will be the fourth participant in the Fatal 4-Way. So Regal comes down. He arrives with the title. Nikki Cross and Peyton Royce, they argue with each other. And then Ember Moon comes down and Kairi Sane comes down. So all four challengers are here. And we have, you know, the stare down and everybody is, you know, all enamored by the title. Drew McIntyre is being interviewed when Zelina Vega arrives and says that she and Andrade Almas did not get the contract for a title shot. Drew tells her that Almas needs to man up and personally come to him and ask for the title shot. So we have Aleister Black. He's coming out for his match. And in the freakiest thing ever, the Velveteen Dream just pops up behind him from out of nowhere. He slams Aleister Black into the steps. The Velveteen Dream then ties him up into the ropes. And he wants Aleister Black to say his name. Of course, Aleister Black refuses. So then the Velveteen Dream proceeds to slap the dog shit out of him like three times. And on the third time, though, he was after he smacked him, he's like going to hit the ropes and charge him. And all of a sudden, Aleister Black gets his boot up. He gets knocks Velveteen Dream down. Aleister Black escapes the ropes. He goes for the black mask. But of course, the Velveteen Dream is too smart for that. He ducks and rolls out of the ring. And so for the first time ever, we've seen somebody seriously get the best of Aleister Black. This feud is the best thing going in WWE right now. The way it's built, how slow it is. Oh, this is just so much fun. And Velveteen Dream he's there now. He's really coming into his own. So our main event, CN Almas versus Roddy Strong. Before the match, Zelina Vega says that Almas has been waiting a week for a contract to face McIntyre. She says that Drew climbed the mountain, but now realizes it becomes hard to breathe the higher you get. She says Strong nor McIntyre are good enough to breathe the air of a champion like CN Almas. Roddy Strong hits a knee strike and a clothesline to send Almas to the floor. Strong rolls him back in the ring, and then out of nowhere, Zelina Vega comes off the apron. And Hurricane Rana's Roderick Strong right into the steps. She picks up Strong, puts him back into the ring, seeing Almas, then hits him with the hammerlock DDT, and seeing Almas gets the win. After the match, seeing Almas says that McIntyre is afraid of him and says that next week they will find out if McIntyre is a man of his word. Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly arrive to meet with a disappointed Roderick Strong. They give him the recruiting pitch again and tell him that he's not a loser and he needs to join them. They said, don't let your family down. They know him. They even, said, don't disappoint your family. They give him the Undisputed Era armband and they leave it with him to think things over. So is Roderick Strong going to join or is he going to deny them again?
I really want to see an ROH invasion. You know, it'd be so much fun. So, you know, especially to see that fat referee go in there and beat up like Mike Chioda or somebody.
Oh my gosh! So, I thought this was a really fun episode of NXT. That women's battle royal was one of the best ones I've ever seen. They had some really creative eliminations. Bianca Belair was the star. I mean, she's just showing out in this match. I would suggest if you guys have the network, just watch the women's battle royal. It's very highly, highly enjoyable. Miss Didi Jonet, I know it was 2 weeks ago, but yes. Did you watch the final Ultima Lucha Tres episode?
I did. Yes, I did.
Okay, it's good. So we can talk about it. Yeah. All right. So we had Dragon Azteca and the monster Matanza Cueto in a steel cage match. Sam's favorite, Black Lotus, returns. She hits a high cross off the cage onto Dragon Azteca. That allows Matanza to then hit the Wrath of the Gods, and he gets the win. After the match, because she ain't scared of shit, uh-uh. Black Lotus attacks Matanza and tries to go after Dario. She gets Dario down, and Dario admits that he lied to her about who killed the original Dragon Azteca. Well, while she's preoccupied with Dario, Matanza sneaks up behind her, lays her out, and Matanza and Dario stand tall.
Because you what? Turned your back.
Don't turn your back, Mustafa.
They always do that.
We have Brian Cage, Mil Mertes, and Jeremiah Crane in the Magical Gauntlet Elimination Match. Brian Cage superplexes Jeremiah Crane onto Mil Mertes through a table. Back in the ring, Brian Cage hits Weapon X on Jeremiah Crane, and he gets the elimination. Jeremiah Crane then returns. He attacks Cage, but quickly gets taken down. Brian Cage starts to run wild. Mil Mertes hits the flatliner onto a chair and gets the win. This makes Dario bring out the gauntlet, and he gives it to Katrina. But King Cuerno comes out of nowhere and attacks Mil Mertes. King Cuerno lays Mil Mertes out, grabs the gauntlet, and leaves as the gauntlet is now in the possession of King Cuerno. Thoughts, concerns, questions, Dee Dee?
I don't really remember King Cuerno, so I was just like, okay.
He was the hunter, remember? He used to... The guy who always came out with the deer mask on?
No.
In the first couple of seasons?
I drink a lot, so no. Yeah.
This match was just pure violence. I mean, at one point, Jeremiah Crane took like some skewers that you use for like your barbecue and stuck them in the top of Brian Cage's head. Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
Ooh.
Yeah, so just lots of violence. Chairs, tables, just all types of violence.
I like it.
Then we had our main event of the evening. The champion, Johnny Mundo, versus the challenger, Prince Puma, in a Lucha Underground career versus title match. Johnny Mundo hits the end of the world 2 times, but Prince Puma kicks out. Puma finally counters, fires away with kicks and knee strikes. Then he hits the shotgun drop kick. Puma heads up top and hits the 630 splash, and he wins the title. Dario comes out and announces that Puma will now face the Gift of the Gods winner, Pentagon Dart. He says that Pentagon came to him last week and asked to cash in tonight. And while Dario likes to promote the match, rules are like bones and are meant to be broken. And Dario says that as an added stipulation, both of their careers are on the line tonight. So we have Prince Puma versus Pentagon Dark. Pentagon breaks the arm of Puma right from the start. Prince Puma just tapes it up and still goes back at it.
Mm-hmm.
Puma heads up top. Vampiro's down there cheering him on. And Vampiro pulls Pentagon Jr. out of the way of the 630. Pentagon Dark then hits the running package power driver. And Pentagon Dark is your new Lucha Underground champion. Shout out to Jupiter Julep. That is her favorite. Vampiro and Pentagon celebrate as Puma leaves the temple. Pentagon then cuts a post-match promo, noting that as champion, that this is his temple. So, of course, at the end of every season, we get the, you know, montage of, you know, all the characters and kind of, you know, what they're doing or where they're headed to next. So we see Prince Puma leaving and removing his mask as he exits the temple. King Cuerno has the gauntlet in his Hunter's Trophy room. Sexy Star is doing a press conference. A little girl brings her a box and says she hasn't forgot about you. And when Sexy Star opens the box, it's a spider in there, of course. So she freaks out. We have the Rabbit Tribe still trying to worship Sam's favorite, Masquerita Sagrada. Phoenix and Melissa, they leave in his car as Katrina is walking in the background and Jeremiah Crane is being a creep, watching her. Vampiro meets with his master, who says Vampiro has done well in getting rid of Prince Puma. Montanza is back in his cage, and we see that Rey Mysterio is still alive. Dario is with the black police officer, and he says he promises to get the gauntlet back. But he's told by the officer not to worry about it, because the officer pulls out a pistol and shoots Dario Cueto in his office. He says new management will take care of it and all of Dario's mistakes. Dario is grabbing for his phone, clutching to life. He tries to dial and then passes out. And that is how.
That's how Lucha Underground ends. That's it. No more.
Yeah, that it may be.
No, more than likely it's not
coming. Hey. Chill out, Sour.
I heard that they may have to come back at a reduced production budget.
Yeah, but like no Dario, no Prince Puma. I don't know.
Anything that interesting. Yeah.
Nobody.
Who
Dario
what?
Cueto? Nah, you're right. But see, if he comes back, he doesn't die. He just, you know, was injured. And then we have a big, you know, thing where he makes his way back and he comes to take his shit back over.
If they decide to change it later, but like, as far as we know, as far as I've read and heard, he's dead.
Okay.
I mean, he could always be like soap operas and be like, oh yeah, he managed to crawl to the same place or whatever.
Yeah. So this was a very shocking ending to this season of Lucha Underground. I thought that still, even after like all these matches, the match between Killshot and AR Fox was still the best.
Absolutely.
Even though the championship match between Puma and Johnny Mundo was excellent, it still couldn't match what AR Fox or Dante Fox and Killshot did. Those two guys were amazing. So,
did you guys see what I posted in the chat?
No, sir. I saw it was an Instagram link. To yeah. Whom?
It's funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The word is whom, straight Edie?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll be back. Hold on.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Yeah, that's another case of we all look alike, huh, Sam?
Yeah, right. And he's usually in the comments is like, was that old white lady Mickey James?
Hi,
for everybody who is wondering what in the world is going to happen to Prince Puma, looks like the artist known as Ricochet is headed to the E, or hopefully NXT first, as he's stopped taking dates. and basically just waiting his time out. He's not taking any dates in January, and that is precisely 90 days from when this episode right here aired, and that's usually the time that you need to clear to move on to another company. So
I'll check my sources.
He's already finished up his New Japan commitments a couple of shows ago at the what was that event? It wasn't Destruction. But anyway, him and Taguchi, they lost the junior tag team titles. And as he was leaving the arena, he kind of, you know, did the turnaround and the long stare and kind of the, you know, hand over the heart type of thing. So it by all indications, it looks like Ricochet, a.k.a. Prince Pumas, is headed to the big time. Well, I don't know. If he goes to NXT, he may be able to keep his name because that seems to be the trend. So here lately, people have been able to keep their names. So hopefully
that. People with names that they know. Nobody really knows who the hell Ricochet is.
I don't know about that. With the internet being as prevalent as it is, I think that people know.
Okay, Ricochet. Well, you have to remember, like, they'll probably be like, oh, that's a stupid name. Call you something else.
Oh, yeah. Well, something they can market. Well, it just depends on how Vince feels that day. If Vince is in a good mood that day,
you have to remember, like, Ricochet being, you know, came from
the indies. Yeah.
So it'd be like, you know, it would be like the whole thing, like, oh, we can't have you named after a weapon or whatever. I don't know. It'll be like the whole Washington Bullets, Washington Wizards thing.
Right, right. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
Which I still say they should call it the Wizards Club. The Wizard Club and just,
oh, goodness.
The Bullet Club.
Oh, goodness. But, yep, that was the week in wrestling. So at this point, we'll open it up for shout-outs and thank yous. We'll start with the lovely Miss Didi Jonet.
Oh my God. Shout out to you all. Shout out to the background noise that won't shut the fuck up. Yes. Get it, background noise. Shout out to Classics Birth. No, it's not me. My shit is on mute. Okay. So shout out to Classics since his birthday was last week. Shout out to Don. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to our guest today, V. Shout out to all my glow girls. And yeah, that's it. All right.
Did you give Mel her shout out?
Oh, yeah. Mel always gets shout out. Shout out to Mel.
Okay. Got to make sure we get that in there.
Yeah, she always gets shout outs.
All right, V, shout outs and thank yous.
Okay, I want to shout out to you all, Don and Didi, for having me on. Of course, I always often enjoy the show, so I was very privileged and thankful to be on and make another podcast appearance. For a while now, my first appearance on the podcast was one of your TSPN brothers, the Chronic College show. A little while back, I don't know if you guys heard that, but shout out to you all again for having me on. And followers, especially those who are interactive often, and those who already submitted nominations on this second round from the Hall of Fame on my site, and mentioned, of course, hopefully more of you will I'll grab out of the site and make your nomination. So, been a long time that way. So, shout out to everybody.
All right. Mr. Samuel Kalunga.
Of course, shout out to the WrestleCast crew. Shout out to Lady Nikki. And shout out to anybody who can get me a hookup on the Netflix so I can watch Stranger Things season 2 tomorrow. If you can do that, you know, my DMs are open. Hit me up.
Mm-hmm. I bet they are.
Stop that.
That's it.
That's all.
All right.
Oh yeah, shout out to our guest as well.
Okay. I'd like to give a shout out to our guest V for joining us tonight. I'd like to give a shout out.
I'm sorry.
To Miss Didi Jonet and her soberness, making it all the way through tonight.
I'm sober. I only giggled like a madman because I finally opened up Sam's picture. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Shout out to Sam for joining us again this week. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to the best producer in the whole wide world, Classic Materia, for the work he's going to put in post-production. Shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to Mel, Siege, Baker Bone, and Sarone Russell. They're doing big things over there on their new new network and their new site. So be sure to please continue to support them. You know, different network, but still same hilarious content. So give a shout out to the whole glow, J to the Max, Queen Mel Mindy, Jupiter Julep, Shaz, all y'all who support every week, and everybody who shows up into the live tweets and use the various hashtags. Shout out to my man Don Victor for coming up with the Photoshop Nature Boy Rory Williams. I appreciate that last night. That gave me a good chuckle. So I think that's really about it this week for my shout outs. Shout out to the guys over at Go Get Over. I'm going to meet up with them Wednesday coming up, day after Halloween. And we're going to get to see an advanced screening of the Ric Flair 30 for 30. So I'm super excited to kind of get a preview of that, see it first. And then the next Wednesday after that, November the 7th, 10 o'clock, hashtag WooCast, as we will be watching the Ric Flair 30 for 30 as a family.
W-O-O, not W-E, right?
We're going to have three O's, W-O-O-O cast, yeah.
So we're not going to sit around and listen to the 36 Chambers as a family.
No. Not W-U. No. So... yeah, so that'll be our next special kind of live tweet. Will be the Ric Flair 30 for 30. Just from some of the clips I've seen, this thing looks amazing. So I cannot wait for this. So shout out again to the guys over at Go Get Over podcast. So for our guest V, for our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet, for Samuel Kalunga, I'm Don DeLorente. This has been the WrestleCast episode 157. Please stay tuned for the parting promo. Whoever you are, whoever you are, hey somebody, whoever you are, hey somebody, whoever you are, hey somebody, hey somebody, whoever you are, whoever you are.
You know what's funny? The way you all react to the manner in which I introduce my client, Brock Lesnar, because someone has a problem with the word undisputed. Someone wants to dispute the fact that Brock Lesnar is the champion in World Wrestling Entertainment. This same someone who's over on SmackDown Live has barely survived the title challenge of Randy Orton. This same someone has barely survived the title challenge of Shinsuke Nakamura. This same someone is now sitting up at night, plotting and planning, trying to figure out how to barely survive the potential title challenge of AJ Styles. Meanwhile, right over here on the flagship show, Monday Night Raw, Brock Lesnar has eaten through the single most stacked heavyweight division in the history of WWE. That fact is undisputed. But you, Jinder Mahal, the make-believe Maharaja with the sing, 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 sing-along brothers standing behind you doing my shtick of introducing you? Are you kidding me? You're not Brock Lesnar's equal. You're not Brock Lesnar's contemporary. You're not Brock Lesnar's counterpart on SmackDown alive. You're not even a worthy pretender to the throne of being WWE champion. When we think of WWE champions, we think of Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, Ric Flair, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, John Cena. And ladies and gentlemen, my client, Brock Lesnar. We don't think of Jinder Mahal, a consolation prize champion offered to SmackDown Live when Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan realized they got the shaft in the Superstar Shakeup. The brand that brags Brock Lesnar is the flagship brand with the number one champion, the place to be in World Wrestling Entertainment. That's undisputed. And because Jinder Mahal disputes that fact, Jinder Mahal, at Survivor Series, you're going to Suplex City. Oh, but I got even worse news for Jinder Mahal, because that's where your night only begins. Because the last time a SmackDown superstar stepped into this ring to fight the Beast, Brock Lesnar, they had to stop the match. Everyone was in shock. The locker room was in an uproar, even the Monday Night Raw locker room. Why? Because on that night, my client, Brock Lesnar, violated every single rule, regulation, moral, ethic, parameter, and boundary of the PG era. So Jinder Mahal, your challenge is hereby accepted. Your challenge is hereby accepted by the undisputed beast. Your challenge is accepted by the undisputed conqueror. Your challenge is accepted by the undisputed